Now, this may be the first time you've heard a retreat conference on changing one's character. The personality remains constant. The character is something that, with God's grace, given the personality that we have, should change in the sense of improve. So much so that we might almost synonymize growth in the spiritual life with the development of our character in order to make ourselves more and more like the perfect character who was Jesus Christ. And we should not hide or defend ourselves behind the fact, well, that's the way I am. Well, so you are. But who says that's the way you're supposed to remain? Because growth in virtues is nothing if not growth in Christian personality. Does that make sense? Growth means change. Of course, for the better. Again, let us note that this is not a question of changing temperament. Where temperament is a vague word that I prefer not to use, except as a type. Temperament for me is a type of personal character, as I've just described it. It is rather that I remain what I am according to the way God made me. I cannot unmake my past, but I will improve it. Where necessary, master it. And always change it according to the pattern of the perfect person, who is God in human form. God wants us to become holy. Agreed. But what I think we too seldom hear, He wants us to become holy according to our different personalities. Therein lies the beauty and, of course, the difficulty in the spiritual life, where we cultivate, because God wants us to, that variety among individuals. And, speaking of religious communities, variety among different religious and secular institutes of Christian perfection. It is true, and we should never apologize for the fact that God does tend to call certain types to certain kinds of religious communities. But no matter how much homogeneity there may be, by now we all know that we think there are not just four, but there must be 4,000 kinds of temperaments. Because one thing we've discovered, these temperaments, even in the same person, are remarkably inconstant. It seems she is choleric in the morning, lethargic in mid-afternoon, then depending on what happened, she becomes phlegmatic towards the evening. It's not in my notes. I think it's apropos. Let me quote the great Chesterton, who on one occasion observed he could never understand polygamy. Just didn't make sense to him. His advice, he said, to husbands was to live long enough with their wives, and they would discover they have married more than one woman. God is mysteriously glorified by this variety, which is in such large measure His own creation and our co-creation to the exercise of our liberty. However, having said all of this, individuality, as good as it is, can become individualism, which is another name for selfishness and pride. Unless we master the limitations and the weaknesses of our respective personalities and glorify God as He wants to be glorified by us as persons, which means as individuals, which means by each one of us differently. That's right. And as religious members of a distinctive community. The Carmelites are not the Franciscans and shouldn't be. The Jesuits are not the Trappists. The Handmaids of the Precious Blood are not the Carmelites. God wants to be glorified by us distinctively as individuals, distinctively as communities. And how this bears to be said in our almost tyrannically homogenizing modern society. Part of the sanctification, therefore, of a religious is not only controlling our individuality to keep it from becoming egocentric individualism. It also means, and here's where it gets subtle and mysterious. I hope I shall be clear. Not only, therefore, are we to know who we are, and we are talking about wise self-knowledge, so that we might know how we are to glorify God, and what are the weaknesses and limitations of our personality, so that we might not allow that temperament to get out of hand. But it also means that we sacrifice for the love of God even some of our legitimate, personal, God-given individuality for the sake of giving greater glory to God as social beings, which means as members of a community. Here's what I want to say. That because God made us individuals, and He did, which means persons, which means different, distinctive beings. He wants us to be ever careful that our individuality does not get out of hand, and that we do not allow these limitations or weaknesses to master us, but that we master them. But he also wants, and this is often harder, that even things which are legitimate in my personality, he wants me to sacrifice. If you wish not to exercise, if you wish not to use, if you wish not to become known, if you wish not to have the satisfaction of knowing that the gifts that I've got, that others no doubt in the community do not have, for the greater glory of God, according to the directives of the obedience to which I have vowed myself, I sacrifice also that. And that's harder, because here there is no question of controlling aberrant tendencies or mastering moral weaknesses that tend to sin. It is the offering up to God of something that is precious and good, and it's mine. But I tell the Lord, dear Lord, you want this too. You see, you want me, and this is me. One final observation. There are many ways in which we can speak of community life and its responsibilities. I cannot think of a more graphic way to describe what a good community is than to say it is the harmonious coexistence and cooperation of different personalities. Where the very essence of community is the presence of variety. Then in order to have a community, you must have these different kinds of temperaments. And if you don't have them, get them. If you don't have enough of the choleric, find some. Or the aggressive. Or the rest. Because it is here that in God's mysterious providence, we become instruments of grace to one another. No doubt often sharp instruments, but instruments no less. Means by which the infinitely wise God, making sure that we are different, and inspiring us by his love to want to love others by adjusting ourselves to them, and what we need more difficult, strange words, adjusting them to ourselves. The sanctification that comes out of this coexistence, even to live together, can be sanctified I hope you agree. And the only mistake we can make is to think there's some mistake. This is it. This is God's wisdom. And we stupidly can complain. Instead of, now of course, if we're going to be these, pardon me for sustaining the image, if we're going to be sharp instruments of grace for one another, of course, it will hurt. But love conquers all, because then we know that this is what God wants, because He is glorified by seeing us for love of Him, loving others, and they loving us, even though, except for His grace, we should not only not be in the same community, there would not even be a community. Let's ask our Savior to teach us two things. First, that we might know ourselves what contribution we can make to that marvelous variety that God wants for His greater glory, being sure that we master the weaknesses and limitations of our personality. But secondly, ask Him also to help us see what contribution we can make by being ourselves for love of Him, which means often sacrificing ourselves for love of Him by living with others whom He put into our lives and then into ours, that we might thus glorify Him in a way that, had we not been religious, this God whom we love could never be honored or glorified. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.